everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Backpass with Ras. And this is me, Ras. And if you're watching in and listening in, you already know, especially those who are watching in, you already know the guests are already here. We've got a very exciting episode today to share. And let me introduce the guests one by one. On my left, it's returning to the show for the second time, this time to speak about his favorite Singaporean club, Sembawang Rangers, is none other than Haizim Jaudin. How are you doing, Haizim?
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me for the second time. Would love to talk about S-League, actually, especially growing up, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this show immensely. And below Haizim, there's Hussein Razak.
Hello.
Representing Woodlands Wellington. How are you doing, Hussein? First time on the show.
I'm doing good, man.
It was very hard to get you on the show, but thankfully the stars aligned and here you are.
Yeah, thankfully, man.
Yeah. How are you doing, Hussein?
I'm doing good. Okay. I'm doing fine. I'm still enjoying football, but on the other level.
Yeah.
Because there's no Woodlands, so to me, there is no Woodlands, there's no party. Yeah. Simple as that.
So I gotta share this as well for all the listeners and viewers. Haizim and Hussein support European clubs that are very rare, very rarely supported. Even though in Haizim's case, despite the recent success of his club, he's still rarely supported. It's Manchester City for Haizim. We had an episode with Haizim covering Manchester City in the days before all this glory and
the
oil money. You can always check it out on Spotify and YouTube. And Hussein here is a supporter of Wolverhampton Wanderers Wolves, so these two have something else in common. Rare football club that they support. And last but not least, our expert panelist, ex-journalist, author as well, for the third time in a row now on the show, after appearing in two shows in collaborations with our friends, the Bola Bola Show, where we spoke about the Malaysian League in the 90s and the Malaysian national team as well in the 90s. Now this time, speaking about a topic close to his heart, the S-League. Gary Koh, how are you doing?
Hey, hi, Ras. Good to see you again. Hi, Hussein. Hi, Haizim.
Hi.
Two great Northern rivals together at the same show.
I wasn't expecting it, actually, to be honest with you, until I saw the menu today. It was like, hey, I'm playing with Hussein. Is that the great Hussein Woolers Wellington?
What a compliment.
You're saying something, Hussein?
A compliment?
I say what a compliment.
He's trying to
appease me for this. No, he's trying to appease me because this Saturday we are meeting, right? For the club, huh? He's trying to soften the blow.
Right, guys, well, let's just start with the two of you. How and why do you become supporters of your respective clubs? Let's go with Hussein first.
All my life, I've been living in the northern side, working in the northern side. So it's like a cocoon for me. It's there. So when the S-League came out, Tiger League, right? If I'm not mistaken, in 1995.
Semi-pro league.
Semi-pro league, yes. It was semi-pro. So everyone got excited. Then we were also very excited because, we live in Woodlands, the north side. We were actually torn, because Northside got two teams. One is Sembawang, and then one is Woodlands, But the thing is that because Sembawang is based in Yishun, and the worst thing is that some of my former players, former teammates, were all playing for Sembawang because from Gibraltar, and I also actually came from Sembawang Sports Club and Gibraltar during my playing days. The thing is that because I live in Woodlands, so I decided that Woodlands, I must support my local club. It is the local club that I have to support. So this is the thing. But I was happy to see that the northern side, we do have rivalries. But Woodlands was the first choice because I stay in Woodlands. So I decided that, it is Woodlands. And also the Rams. The funny part is, the good thing is that because both clubs started with the initial WWFC. So my European club is Woolen Football Club.
Yeah.
And then this is Woolen's Wellington. And then the best part is that there's a wolf in the sheep clothing. So all these players come together, you know. So you know, it's like it matches everything, you know. I felt like okay lah, you know, I have to as a ardent supporter of the football lah. So I decided to support Woolen's Wellington.
Okay, Haizam yourself.
Okay, so I grew up with the Malaysia Cup days lah. So like 94, I remember going 94 to Shah Alam Stadium to watch the game. And then when we grew up that era, you know that you still need to have the football fix, right? So when we got kicked out 1994, then there were talks, I think, you know, like, oh, we're going to have our own league. And then, you know, they were talking about how, you know, the different districts will have the different... And for me, I grew up in Yishun. I would say that I'm a Yishun boy lah, you know. Until I got married and more. So I was like looking like, hey, what's the team that's gonna be, you know, in like Yishun? Then they were saying, you know, like what Abang Hussein was saying, like, you know, like, oh, Gibraltar Crescent, you know, then the Sembawang Sports Club, and then you know they have this professional team. Then it's like, because I was thinking Yishun, and Sembawang Rangers was like Abang Hussein said, I was based in Yishun. So Yishun Stadium, Yishun, and then I was in when 1996, I was in Sec 1. So it's like my friends say, hey, like, hey, let's go watch a game lah, football game, no, Yishun Stadium. And then Sembawang Rangers was like the closest lah. I mean, that's the logical choice lah. So then, you know, then I decided, okay, no, watch Sembawang Rangers, supported them, you know. Then I realized that with the Northern clubs, there is this feeling of family. You know, I think Abang Hussein also can understand that. In the North, right? I think, like, you know, somehow or other, you know everyone in the North. Like, hey, like this person, this person's brother lah, this person's uncle lah, this person's father lah, grandfather. So it's that unity, right? And especially with Sembawang, it's like, even though like for me growing up, I had friends from other secondary schools, but we can talk about Sembawang Rangers. You know, like, hey, everyone wants to give, hey, like, hey, this is not my friend, this is not my primary school friend, childhood friend. So I come to love Sembawang Rangers because number one is like, we were always the underdog. And then at that point of time when 1996 started, the S-League, and you know, Woolens Wellington had that famous, we had our Mourinho, Mr. Wenger, North of the North. And he's always talking shit. You know, like, you say it's like Woolens Wellington, the best club. And especially the Northern Derby. And I think that's my first real experience in a derby match. You know, yeah, granted, you know, I watched, you know, I also followed Man City. But I think I missed the fact that I want that rivalry. Like when supporting the Singapore national, the Malaysia Cup team back in the States, right? We know that our rival was all the other states, you know? And then the S-League brought that to the local flavor. So I felt that Sembawang Rangers was the underdog team that always had rivalry with all the clubs in the league, you know? I think it's the closest is the Woolens Wellington. But talking about that underdog, right? We somehow or other, we are like the Millwall of Singapore, the S-League. Like nobody likes us. You know, we get the best player, everybody will take the player. Like I remember Alam Shah, you know, all going like that. So that feeling was like we are always the underdog. That is the feeling that I love lah for Rangers.
All right. And speaking about that, very nicely we go to our next question. Share with us your match viewing experiences, any interaction you had with clubs, with players.
Okay. For me, I wouldn't say the real fans lah. So the hardcore Sembawang Rangers fan will always sit at the opposite grandstand. We call it the Ibrahim corner. So that's where the ruffians of the ruffians will be say, hanging out there lah. You know, we'll be cheering. Okay. Fun fact, Yazid Yassin's parents, family will always come watch the home games and will always sit over among us. So I remembered one scene was that Yazid Yassin's father so actually walked away from the family. Walk towards the center half of the border, the match sponsors there. So started hurling vulgarities at the referee. Then we were laughing lah. We were laughing like, hey, that's Yassin's father, right? Like, why is he so scared? Then after that, the whole family was laughing. And then another thing that I remembered was that I think the fans, as usual lah, we were protesting the referee against the decision against Rangers lah. So we saw someone actually throw a packet of nasi lemak into the pitch.
Oh, literally?
yeah. So we were like, what flying was like? What? Like, that passion is so real. Like, you know, like you are eating.
Yeah.
And then we saw that flying packet of nasi lemak just flying through. Like, Wow, this person really damn angry with the result.
Were there full houses in those days?
Oh,
tough to get tickets.
I wouldn't say tough to get tickets, but I think back then I can agree that attendance, we could fill the stadium. Definitely. I mean, maybe average we can get maybe 2,000 spectators. I mean, yeah lah, because they were also the instance of the Singapore Post betting lah, you know. But then again, we know that we have fans who will watch the game. And then I think I would really say that time when I was in secondary school watching Sembawang Rangers, I think that was the golden age of the S-League. I feel that's a golden age. Because we had, I remember that we had the live show of the games. You know, they set up scaffoldings and then they had camera. And I remember Daryl David was one of the commentators for
presenters.
So I felt that golden era of football in Singapore was very evident in the, like Abang Hussein said, in the late 90s. You know, 96 from the start till where, like 99 before the millennium.
All right. Hussein, yourself, your experiences?
Oh, okay. I think when we launched the S-League, right? I think the marketing was very well done because they have they have like those you know, the food truck, right? But they have this kind of truck that for each of the clubs they have their own merchandising,
yes,
and they market outside the stadium. So this one has actually attracted a lot of interest, you know, the people. So those people who had bought the merchandising of the club and all, they show their affiliation, you know, which is really something very encouraging, you know. People go there to get the jersey, people go there to get the scarf, you know. At that time, the scarf was a bit limited, lah, but what I know is that caps, and then there was those
pencil cases, bag cups,
you know. Pencil cases, and then the other thing is that the books, you know, the sticker book, like something like the Panini sticker book.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
I still have the first edition, but I don't know, God knows where did I put it. It's somewhere inside my store, you know. But I couldn't find it actually, but I know it's inside my store. Anyway, match experience is basically like what Haizam said. There will always be controversial fans and fans clashes either after the game or before the game. You know, at that time, it was a real headache. Honestly, it was great. You know, some of them actually carry weapon, you know.
Oh,
and
yo.
we had, there were Jurong, notably lah, Jurong, Woodlands, and Sembawang lah. What a coincidence. All three clubs also went off. But they do, because they have a section of people who just go there like hooligans, you know, they want to create trouble. But overall, the match experience, like what Haizam said, 2,000 plus, no. It's 3,000. I remember it's all more than 3,000 at that time. There was a couple of times people, especially in Woodlands, they went up the roof, you know, because they couldn't get the ticket. So they went on top of the roof and watched the game, you know. Because Woodlands,
the roof of the stadium?
Because it's on top of the hill. Yeah, I remember.
So the roofing, it just sits, lower than the actual every other stadium. So they go up to the roof, you know. But police came at the same time. But these fellas are all stubborn. They just don't care, you know. But that's why I say the experience, real passion. Because at that time, you had good foreign signings, all monkey signings. Foreign signings are very good. And I also appreciate people like Wenger at that time. Because when he introduced players for Woolens, each and every one of the players, if it's a foreigner, either they went on to bigger things or they become naturalized Singapore citizen. To me, you look at players like you have the Croatian connection. Then after that, you have the Serbian connection. Then you have, over the years, the African connection. You know, these are the people that they come and then they actually played to the gallery. They also perform. At that time, the S-League was really tough, you know. I tell you, with the array of stars in Woodlands also, you still could not, match some of the clubs, you know. Like, especially Geylang International. Geylang had World Cup players, you know.
Fandi.
Not only Fandi, the Iranian players, you know.
Mohamed Kapo, Hamid Rizai Steli.
It's actually they came to Singapore to play in the S-League, and then they got the recognition to play in the World Cup, you know. So you can imagine the intensity and the game itself and the performances and all. Everywhere in the island, everyone is talking about it. And then the best, I think the most memorable one was the one that we met Geylang International in National Stadium. The game was actually scheduled in Woodlands, but unfortunately because of the crowd demand, it went to National Stadium. There was there was more than 35 to 36,000 fans actually came. That was the biggest.
I think it's on TV.
It was on TV.
And that was a quote, you know, that was one of the most famous quotes that Wenger said was simply amazing. He said, well, no, 1,000 fans came to see Sundramurthy. The other 34,000 came to watch me lead the team.
That's the thing that I love about Wenger, you know. Like, Wenger is, if we compare him to the legends of football now, right? He's really the Mourinho kind. Like, he speaks his mind and he back it up, you know. Like, he's not afraid to court controversy. That's the thing that I love about him.
But I'll be honest with you, he's very close to me because he's also somehow or other related to us, The thing is that sometimes he will talk shit, you know. I mean, sorry, I have to say this. But I also sometimes have to put him in place and tell him to just shut up, you know, because you don't create a lot of things. There was a time when Tiong Bahru was around, you know. So he said, well, no, TB is a disease. We are the cure. You know, this irritated. I think, Gary, you know, this irritated the TB, who's the player, the guy who coach Tiong Bahru. He launched a complaint, you know. He launched a complaint. Robert Albert, yes. He said all this, no. So I told him, I said, you bloody hell, you create so much of problem for everybody, you know. but that is the thing, because he is more into the English, being a Derby County fan, right? So he actually absorbed that kind of tradition to him. He loves Brian Clough's quotes. So he uses all these quotes, and then to create all this. They create a lot. I still have some, but I cannot remember. It's not in my head right now. But these are the best experiences that I've actually encountered. You know, and this one is something that when we saw the younger children, I mean something like Aizam's age and all, then I realized that football will be alive, you know, because there will be more and more footballers will want to follow that path, you know.
Okay. Gary, now coming to you. How do you end with these two clubs? Share with us.
Actually, I will begin with Sabawang Rangers, which is a bit sad because throughout Sabawang's years in the S-League, the chairman was Charles Siahan. And they had a very good, it wasn't just the underdog, but they also had one fabulous Thai contingent in the 2000s.
Please don't remind me. Tawan is that legend, man.
Oh yeah, I caught up with Tawan recently when his Bangkok United came down for the Champions League.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, then Tavachai Dambrong on Trangku, Vitaya Lahaku was also the technical director. That's when you saw the No Alam Shahs emerge as well. And somehow after 2003, they just disappeared or it's shut and he has never revived since, which is in a way a pity. Because when I interviewed Tawan in 2007, he still remembered the Sabawang Rangers fans, his time in Singapore.
Yeah.
Okay, so just 2003 disappeared like that.
After 2003.
That's a pity, really.
That's a final year in the league.
Yeah, because I heard that
no reasons given at all, officially or unofficially, anything that you can share. Gary?
Well, I'm not very sure because I also do not remember, but I think the usual platform would be financial difficulties. I'm not sure if Aizam would.
What I understand was that financially Sembawang was bleeding lah. Financially Sembawang was bleeding badly. So that's why if you look at it, the players that Sembawang had was always the kind where they train the players for the other clubs to just pick. The final nail in the coffin was that I read somewhere that Sembawang Corp was actually I remember reading it somewhere that they were supposed to actually sponsor Sabah. Because remember, at the point of time during the last lap of Sabah Rangers, we didn't have a sponsor.
Yeah.
So Sembawang Corp was supposed to actually come into the picture. Until okay, this is very controversial. I heard that Woodlands Wellington was pulling some favors. I think Venga also had that point, but I might be wrong. Sembawang Corp went to sponsor Woodlands Wellington instead. So that was actually that final nail in the coffin. Then I think it was bleeding way too much for Sembawang to actually sustain, and then they just disappeared. Interesting fact. There was one time actually I kind of like have those friends of mine who wanted to revive Sembawang Rangers. So we wanted to do something like a fan trust, like follow the English style. So we were reading about it. So when I contacted FAS, so FAS said that Sembawang Rangers actually is okay, as the branding that is still there, but it's inactive. But then they have their debt, which amount to $1 million, if I'm not wrong. This was many, many years ago. So I felt that it's very difficult to have that idea because they were interested. They were, how you guys were doing it, how wanted to do it. So I was just saying this, like it may not meet or may not work, but we could have given it a try. But then after hearing that debt of $1 million, that outstanding, I feel like it was a very, it was a tall order to kind of revive that name. So I can understand what Gary say. The thing is that financially it was only a matter of time.
Okay. Hey, what about Woodlands Wellington, Gary?
Actually, what happened there? Woodlands is actually a sadder story because the decline began especially once Sembcorp pulled out of Woodlands Wellington in 2010, if I'm not wrong.
And correct.
Was new chairmanship. I know Hussein once had a protest against the chairmanship of, I think, Jaykan Jayapal and Shashi Kumar was the head coach. And subsequently, when Bill Ng had a second club, which you and a few Woodlands Wellington fans were protesting and had over the years until recently been working hard to keep or to revive that Woodlands Wellington name. So I think after 2012, Woodlands Wellington disappeared and has not returned since. So with the end of Woodlands Wellington, although we do hope eventually Woodlands and Sembawang do revive because there are some fans who do want more local clubs. But sometimes financial realities do impact, and also the commitment of whoever is bankrolling the clubs, who wants to bankroll the clubs, the commitment has to be there.
But is Woodlands coming back? I hear this rumor that Woodlands is coming back or they're taking steps to return. Is that true, Hussein?
I think Wenger is trying to revive Woodlands Lion, actually.
Woodlands Lions,
But I'm not keen about that because the word Lion can be associated with so many like FAS, the Young Lion. And I also did ask him, why Woodlands Lion? I said, and then also in the IWL, we actually have 4 or 5 clubs playing in the IWL. So I said, we have 4 or 5 clubs participating in the Island Wide League. But we don't even have a proper club in the north, So I say, why not these Island Wide League teams are pool together. But the problem is because, what's happening? It's a good example. When Sembawang Rangers, when the cracks came up, it was actually because there was conflict of interest. The former officials and ESCO from, Sembawang Sports Club and the Gibraltar ESCOs could not see eye to eye. So there it started the crack, there was a lot of conflicting views and all these things, which led to the club also in a very declining state. So this is what happened. It's the same with what Woodland is. When you have another club coming in to combine, especially Haugang, you are already creating so much of pain, anger, towards the fans. Because Haugang, we always consider them a rival. No doubt we are all together as one when we in national unity, when we support the national team, we are all together. But club is club. So when Bill came in and Bill wanted to take over, he promised a lot of things, But at the end, what does he do? He just take up everything, So we felt very bad, we felt very hurt. So we fought for it, four of us actually fought for it. we went on to the higher ground, but I won't mention where. Wenger, myself, James Lim, and Ben Tan, four of us. You know, we went to meet FAS president, Lim Chin at that time, you know, and then the FAS committee and all, you know. So because we were all very hurt, you know, we had a club, we had a community club, you know. This club is actually a community, you know. When I started the fan base, the fan club, I based on families, you know. I bring the families along, you know. So every one of the supporters, their families are all there. It doesn't matter what race, but you are there, you know. That's the reason why when I actually introduced this fan club base, I told the club, when Sembcorp came in, it was like oil money lah. Wow, it's a rich club. And they start signing all the players, you know, that we, you know, all the famous players start coming in, you know. So we felt good lah, you know, we felt good, you know. But I have to be honest with you lah. As much as Francis Gomez, the former president, he's a footballing man. He is a footballing man. He's passionate. He's passionate, he's firm, but he's a footballing man. And that's one thing I like about him. You know, sometimes when I tell him my ideas, he will bring it up, you know. He will bring it up, and then he will, when during the match day or after the match day, he will tell me, you know, okay, Hussein, I've already considered this season. Okay, go. That's why we had allowances for our cheer girls at the time. We had about 30 over cheer girls, you know. Then we had array of drums. Yeah, we were loud. I tell you honestly, we were loud. Then we have fans, you know, fans who comes in, family, fans, and everything. And then I even told him about the jerseys, you know, that we want to buy. You know, most of us, we don't take for free. We only take the jersey at the end of the season, the players' jersey, whether it's home and away. So I always inform the club, you know, the home and away jersey, set it aside one side. So we'll give it to all the hardcore fans who have been with us throughout the season. So I know who they are. Everyone is in my hand. Even if I have 1,000 fans, it's all in my hand. That's why we travel in large number, whether home and away. You see, because I want to lead and I want to show them that I talk the talk, I walk the walk. You know, I've also rubbed salt into people's wound now. But at the same time, it is a passion, you know, to support a club. It is there, you know. So people know, people see, people say, oh, okay, this guy is very passionate, you know. He wants to bring the thing together. Sometimes I break a bit of rule here and there. But you know, these people, they cannot accept it. So always look at me as the bad guy, you know. But that's the thing, because we always believe that if every club has this kind of passion, you can sense that the league will get more and more exciting. And people like Gary will be scratching his head now, how to make reports, how to check and balance, you know. It's all this, you know, but that was a fun, that was a fun thing, you know.
Okay. Can I just ask you guys about the players? Like, who are your favorite players to watch? Aizam.
Okay, for me, your club, Tawan was the ultimate lah. And then we and also the Ibrahim corner, me and my friends we always we had this one player, Ramesh. I can't remember M. Ramesh. So he's always playing in the wings, and then we always realize that he always have no stamina throughout the game. So we always like to disturb, because we saw him before smoking outside the stadium after the game. So it was like, smoke someone. Then you always laugh. Like, that laugh is an acknowledgement that, like, even though it's kind of like that banter of insult to our own player, but he knows that the fact that you have fans who are actually, who recognize you, I think that's something that nowadays, I think is very hard to, it's not very organic. If you look at it, it's very organic. Like, you know, you get to find out about the players, you know. And I think for Sembawang, the players will always hang out after at Block 848, this coffee shop, Teh Tarik, beside McDonald's. So they will always like hang out for late supper after the game. And then players, fans who walk there will acknowledge them, and then they will make small talk with them. So, like what Abang Hussein said, it's a community. Football in Singapore, S-League especially, it's a community. It's not it's regardless of race, it's actually for family, it's for people. You know, you imagine there's a game, you're staying in Yishun, there's a game at Yishun Stadium, so Rangers, you know, get the family, you know, come, watch the game together, after that, go have late dinner and whatnot. So that is something that is very organic, and you cannot replicate it by marketing or whatsoever. You know, and the fact that you come watch a team where you stay, that's already a huge bonus, you know. Like you relate, yeah, like, okay, like Abang Hussein, you know, grew up in Woodlands, you know. Of course, he would not be supporting somewhere, a club in Jurong, what, you know? So at least you know that local pride that, you know, this is my hometown club. You know, as for me also, you know, like, oh, I grew up in Yishun, you know, this is my hometown club. And you know, interesting, you know, I have a rival club who is, you know, just neighbors, Woodlands. So you can experience that, you know, like nowadays a lot of people were saying that, you know, like, how come Singaporeans don't support their local team? Because there's no organic marketing that you can convince people. Like, you know, like, you okay, right now I'm staying in Tampines, but because for me, my affection with Sembawang Rangers is so huge, I cannot see myself supporting Tampines. You know, even that previously, you know, like I tried supporting Hougang, but then I realized that as friends, yes, I mean, I can support behind the idea, but the fact that I grew up asleep supporting Sembawang Rangers, that romantic in me would want to see Sembawang Rangers come back.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to feel like, although, like, oh, even, you know, that time when Sembawang Rangers left, you know, people say, hey, go support Woolens Wellington, like I can't bring myself to be like, how to do it? Like, I've been supporting Sembawang, you know, and I remember growing up hating Wenger, you know, like, really, I hate Wenger, because okay, this is a personal experience. So I was in Yishun Town Secondary School. So Yishun Town, at that point of time, we never had a soccer field. You know, we don't have a football field. So the nearest football field was at 300 plus behind the police station, the police post, police station. So that time the school team was practicing there. Actually, Wenger came in, scolded all of us, removed the goalpost, and asked, who gave you permission to play at my field? That's how Wenger is the villain, though. To the point that I was like, pardon my language,
but did he own the field or what?
Yeah, that's the thing, because we were students, we were training for our
school. Anything can play.
Yeah, for our school team, like we need to practice. Then turns out, so what happened was that, so many years later, so I had a show in 98 Live. So one of the hosts was Wenger. So after that, we had lunch lah. So I actually asked Wenger about this. Wenger, can I ask you, like, is the pitch owned by you? Or like Woolens Wellington? Then he said, no, but actually, if you have to ask, you know, like, you have asked Woolens Wellington, or because that time Woolens Wellington was the active club lah, so they kind of have like first dibs on it. So he said, if the school have asked, I think it shouldn't be an issue. But the problem is, like, it's just trespassing, and I need to answer because these are my assets lah. So I was like, okay. Then from that moment on, I kind of like respect Wenger, because for his character, he actually is passionate about local football. That's the thing. And I think Abang Hussein can agree with that, because he really wants to see local football success. It doesn't succeed. But unfortunately, you know, things happen lah.
Yeah. Right. Nice. Good points, Haizam. Meandering away a bit from the topic, but all, you know, interesting nuggets you've shared with us, because these are your personal memories some people do not know of. And you're, of course, both of you, in fact, Haizam and Hussein, is speaking very passionately. Hussein, quick one on the players that you've witnessed playing for Woodlands Wellington. Who are some of your favourites?
I think there are two lah. The local player is none other than Nasaruddin Sawardi, also known as Kuda.
Kuda.
He's a very passionate bowler. He's short lah. Very short player. Stout player. Very stout player. And they call him Kuda lah, because he used to, his parents all used to work in the stable in Turf Club.
Okay.
You know, I think he's also there. But he's currently now still doing coaching lah, you know, for academy and all. The good thing about him is because Agu, you remember Singapore national player Agu Kashmir, during his interview, he said, well, no, Kuda could anytime go into the African League, you know, because of his strength, because of stamina. his stamina, and also he's a very hard tackling player. He's short, stout, but very hard tackling. And that's what I like about him.
Mm.
You know, that's what I like about him. The favorite foreign player has to be Tang Yo-yun from Korea.
He has
always been my favorite player. Even the others are all better than him. But what I like about him is that whenever he scores, he will run to us and he will show the passion. And then after the game, he will come back. After the game, he will come back to acknowledge the fans and also this is something mm. that I like. These are the two players.
Okay, Gary, now going on to another club. Unfortunately, I couldn't get a fan for this club. But this is actually the most successful Singaporean club right now in the history of S-League.
Correct.
Still, despite being out of the league, it's SAFFC. So tell us the story about SAFFC, the rise and the fall.
Well, actually, SAFFC was formed as a professional entity for SAFSA, Singapore Armed Forces Sports Association. And from its beginning until somewhere in 2013, SAFFC always has the backing of the Singapore Armed Forces, where they pour in the resources and at one point even allowed national servicemen from other clubs to join them to do the national service and also play for SAFFC when they're in the military. Although that does not exist anymore. The only club that has this privilege is now, unfortunately, Young Lions to take in all the NS fellas. So from there on, actually, they began very impressively with a very solid set of Croatian players from Velimir Krajan, Yuri Aris, even strong local players like Reza Hassan. V. Selvraj was already at the club. Lee Man Hon, and they had Steven Chan in the beginning. Later on, you have Tan Kim Ling. And they were actually very dominant in various periods of time, save for a short period. Home United in 1999, Tampines Rovers 04-05. But the decline, I think, began to surface after the 2010 season, after they played in the second successive AFC Asian Champions League group stage. And that's where, yes, they still had the small highs under Richard Bock, but after Richard Bock, it's really not the same since. And the decline really accelerated once SCF no longer become the main supporter for FCFC when it was renamed into Warriors FC in the name of so-called eventual privatization in 2014. But it did not work out. Debts began to accumulate and eventually Warriors FC were forced out after 2015 or I do not remember which season already. 2018, if I'm not wrong.
Okay. Yeah. And any news on them? Would they be coming back?
This is from my own understanding from what I heard from a few on the grapevine. Warriors FC will be welcome back, but they must exclude one particular official from the management before they are welcome back.
Oh, okay. So debt. For them, it's not an issue of debt then? Debt clearance?
No, they have debt, actually.
They have.
But at the same time, from what I understood, they were during the debt period, they were also allowed to still run one Singapore Pools franchise in the Chua Chu Kang area. And it's still ongoing. Just that FAS did not like this one particular official, Paul Po.
Okay.
Yeah. And as long as he's still in that role, Warriors FC will not be coming back in a hurry.
Okay. And this club, actually, I actually forgot about them. But during the course of this show, this club's name was mentioned, Jurong FC. What about them? What happened with them? To them, actually?
Actually, for Jurong FC, what happened was, actually, Jurong has already been an established club in the NFL semi-pro era. It entered its league only in 1997 after the upset Balestier Central in the Singapore FA Cup quarterfinals in 96. After that, as soon as they joined the S-League, they almost went out of business. In fact, it took the new paper campaign to save Jurong until 2003. Okay. I know. New paper was very aggressive. Like, But because this Jurong FC was under the long-time chairmanship of the late Case Supaya, so I think after 2003, again, financial difficulties, they really, as with most of the local clubs that have either set out or have previously set out, it's always these financial difficulties that comes with professional football where clubs, they often have to bleed money. That every club needs support from Singapore Pools or Singapore Tote Board in order to survive. It's like without Singapore Tote Board, almost every club will go under.
Okay. And who are some of the notable players that played for Jurong? I know Sundram was there.
Well, I think there was Bojan Hodak, who He's currently pursuit manager, but had also coached a number of clubs in Malaysia. Precious Imujerai, Park Tae-won before he went to Woodlands. Park Tae-won. Let me see who else. Bashir Khan.
Okay, the goalkeeper.
Ex-national.
Correct.
Yeah, all right.
The Jurong FC's golden period came under Sudirman because everybody wanted to see Sudirman play. Just as back in 1995, when before it became Woodlands Wellington, Wellington FC, they signed Sudirman. 4,000 went to see a second division game.
Okay. And the drums, right? Hussein, the drums were like what, multiracial drums?
Oh, we have the Chinese lion dance drum. We have bass, we have a lot. Then we even have those like the Boyanese musical instruments.
Okay.
So most of my boys, actually the ones who are playing the drum are all those kompang group from my estate. So they will come down and then they will do all the we were just too loud lah. So we tried to actually minimize some of the thing because the stadium is very small, you know, and then you need to put a lot of instrument and all that. At that time when we had all these it was very loud, And on top of that, the atmosphere and all that. So I even have people telling me, you know, we can hear you all from the interchange, you know. Fast interchange, you know. They say, wow, can you hear the drums, the music all from the interchange, you know. So I realize, hey, it's just too loud. But no one actually complained about it. Maybe because people love it. But then I realized, thing is that the logistic, after the game, then we have to go and, you know, sort out everything. Then, you know, some of them bring back the things, you know. So that's where when we start talking to the club to give us one space, the office. Then we were quite thankful, because Francis Gomez actually gave us one of the room to take to store all our items there, So we were very thankful. All our things were all there, So basically, we are no problem, You know, like what Gary said, the day when because we had a protest incident, at that time. So during the Singapore Cup against Tampines Rovers. So we had some contentious decision made by the referee, you know, so controversial and all. So Francis was the one who actually asked the players to come out, you know. At that time, Jock Steinbrunner was the manager. So that was the downfall, So when we actually protested, the players all went out. Only one player stayed in. It was Yazid Yassin, the goalkeeper. The rest of the players all came out. So what happened was the next day he called for an emergency meeting. So he also wrote me in. So I went in and he was telling that FPS is going to find him or, you know, going to find the club. So I think it's about the range of 45,000. They find, then at the same time, started for Francis to feel like that it's not worth it to continue like that. So he stepped down. So when he stepped down, that was where the downfall started. The declining. But nevertheless, the fans are always there because at that time I told the fans, hey, sometimes some of the funding we couldn't get, you know. So for this thing, they said, no, it's okay. Never mind. They said, we still support Woodlands. So we still go in a big group, you know. We still go in a big group back. So that's the thing. That's the thing about the passion. The testing of the fans, you know, because if those who are there for the monetary thing, and there was also a very enlightening part when this guy, I cannot remember this captain name. He's a Japanese player. He used to play for Jurong also. He used to play for
Akihiro
Rangers. Akihiro Nakamura.
Akihiro Nakamura, yes.
Yes. Akihiro Nakamura. When he knows that I will come and watch them in training, you know. So when they were training, Aki actually came to me. He gave me an envelope, you know. It was about $450. No, then I said, what is this? No, this one is for the fans. It's from all the players. We chip in, you know, you give the girl. He knows that I'm fighting for the girls, the allowance. Because most of them are school students, you know. So the allowance is a welcoming pocket money for them. So I was like, touch, you know. I was touched, you know. Then I said, oh, Alamak. They said, no, we know about the problem there because the club now cannot afford it. He gave me the 450. So I took the 450. Then on Wednesday itself, before that, I called everyone down and already. I talked to them. Then I told the players, I said, okay, this is the money that I'm going to set aside 200 for year end. Maybe we do something. When the rest, we give it to the girls. So the drummers, the boys are all very supportive. They said, no, it's okay. Just give to the girls the allowance. So we set aside 200 for the end of the event, right? So I chip in also my own money. Then we had a get-together, fans get-together, and the players get-together at the beach in Sembawang Park. We had a get-together. So the good thing is that what I love about Woodlands Wellington is that the parents, whether makcik lah or the uncle or whoever, they all chip in also. And then we had a potluck. So they bring food. Everyone. So every time when you come to Woodlands Stadium, you don't have to worry about makan. Makan is there. Half time you can see makan. One is makan. Second one, you can see all the children under the age of 10, 11, playing football for the last the half time, 15 minutes. They want is one of that 15 minutes, the 15 minutes of football. At one time, FS official actually told me this is not allowed. Then I told him, I said, please, you know, the kids are here only for one thing. Okay? They are here for the 15 minutes of fame money. So when the players go in, after time, they will play. Whether there is 30, 40 fellas out there, they will run, they will chase the ball inside the pitch. You know, they wear school shoes. Some of them from school, in the PM session, they come back with the school uniform. They still chasing the ball and all. So that 15 minutes is the one that actually pull most of the adult fans into the stadium.
Wow, nice.
So the parents came. Because they know what? Okay, my son, alamak, sure won't be coming back. There are even some parents told me, I know my son won't come back today, match day. So they came. So they all came together. So we build up, a lot of rapport, communication with them all. So this is where we actually generate a very family-based community club.
Okay, all right. And the reason why I actually asked you about the drums was because I heard Jurong FC had their Indian drums.
Everyone has. So mine actually donated to Geylang. And then the balance one are all stuck in Hougang Stadium. Because at that time when they took over, so Hougang, I let them take it away because they can use whatever.
Gary, now let's talk about teams that have changed names. So first up, Police FC. They became known as Home United. So what's that?
Actually,
why that name change?
Well, Police SA was actually formed as the professional subsidiary for... Police FC was formed as a subsidiary for the police force back in 1996. But I think when they moved to Bishan Stadium in 1998, they also want to reflect the broader nature of the Home Affairs Ministry. So they renamed it to Home United in 1998. And I think it lasted until 2020, when they became
Lion City Sailors,
all right. So that is, so but this one is still straightforward. The second one is also straightforward.
The second one is my club, Balestier Central to Clementi Khalsa. So, these were two separate clubs,
correct. So, Balestier Central was again formed from Balestier United, which still exists in 1996. Clementi Khalsa came in as a separate entity at first in 1998 until 2003 when it merged to become Balestier Khalsa. It's still the only, it's the first merger that the clubs have in the professional era. And after that, it has stuck their name since, although below the SPL level, you now still have your Balestier United, you still have your Singapore Khalsa Association playing separately. But the most complicated is actually the one that is now the present Hougang United.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Because they have...
Murray Castle, Sengkang, Punggol, and now Hougang United.
Murray Castle's case is actually quite interesting. Like this, they were supposed to join Jurong in 97, but they suddenly pulled out at the last moment. But they eventually returned in 98. So between 98 to 2002 or 3, if I'm not wrong, because I don't remember... 2003, Marine Castle were in the league. 2004, there was a blank period. And in 2005, there was a Paya Lebar Punggol. Paya Lebar Punggol that actually actually, even by today's standard, they're still better than this season's Young Lions. I mean, they only had 4 points out of 30 over games, but their players' commitment and, I mean, the competition was also tougher then. So, I mean, the 2005 Paya Lebar Bongo were beaten the 2023 Young Lions a lot more easily now. A few decent players, but there are a lot of raw ones as well. So after that, Marine Castle returned and they merged with Sengkang, Paya Lebar Punggol to become Sengkang Punggol. And then from Sengkang Punggol, the rebranding to the present Hougang United to reflect the place that they are at. It's very confusing how the merger, the name and the re-merger and all that stuff.
Right. Okay, but I mean, it's fair enough that because of where they are, it's called Hougang United, because previously they were playing in Hougang Stadium and the team name didn't reflect where they were playing. So I think now, I think it's fair enough that it's called Hougang United.
Russ, this is going to add something. Do you know that Geylang United nearly became Bedok United in 1996?
No,
I didn't know that.
Well, this was what I found out from a friend who worked at the club later on. Because it was supposed to be based on locality. But then again, Sembawang Rangers didn't become Yishun Rangers also.
If not Power Ranger.
No. And then it should be all rainbow ready.
It's very interesting if you look at it like 1990. I think 1995 we had the local papers were showing about like how the locality of clubs will reflect. But then I think on the other hand, because we have historic clubs, you know, like Abang Hussein, you know, like the Gibraltar Crescent, you know, even like for Balestier Khalsa, you know, even Geylang International for that matter, who was playing in the semi-professional league. So I guess they wanted to have that balance, like, okay, if let's say we bring these clubs to make it professional, doesn't make sense for them to change their name from Geylang International to Bedok, you know, because it doesn't reflect the historic, it doesn't reflect the historical, history behind the club. Yeah. Even for Tampines Rovers has been there for the longest time. Imagine, you know, if they change, it's just because they went professional, you just change the name. It doesn't
BG.
It's gonna be very weird, like, in that sense, lah. So I can understand what Gary meant, like, you know, like when Bedok, you know, I'm not surprised because if they went through that, it's gonna be super weird, lah. Like Bedok, you know, Bedok United, like, huh?
Okay, so now these are the local clubs. So which year did the foreign clubs start emerging in the S League?
Actually, it began in 2003 when Xinqi, which actually comprised of a group of journeyman Chinese footballers, they came to Singapore under Wang Jinghui. Wang Jinghui, when he first came, this is an interesting story. He was still taking public transport. Then suddenly, he suddenly had a car. Eventually, when Xinqi went bus in after 2005, he already has a restaurant for a long time at Vivo City.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, but Xinqi, because they gave the platform for young Chinese footballers who could not make the cut in their local league partially due to finances, because in the Chinese Football League system, unfortunately, it still exists today where parents or certain agents, they pay money to say, hey, I want this player or this son, my son to be at this club, or even better, pay the FA to say, I want my son to have my first cap. Please put... I want my player to have a first cap, so put him in the national team.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the Chinese football system. That's why the Chinese netizens are always bashing the men's team.
That aside,
it also provided the platform for Chu Li and Shi Jiayi to actually become Singapore national team players. And I think there's one former CG player who played for Paya Lebar Punggol as well, if I'm not wrong, in 2005. Okay. Yeah.
All right. And you guys, Haizam and Hussein, which was your favorite foreign club in S-League?
I was interested. Yeah. Super 8s. It's like, the first Korean was like, wow. Like,
yeah, Korean lah.
And the best part was that they came into the league, right? The name is not even a representative of any locality. Like, I remember because they played in Yishun Stadium.
Correct.
But the thing is that it's so jarring that, okay, like this Korean club and then in Yishun is a community. Like, how are we supposed to get behind this club? You know? So I felt that it was interesting, but it was doomed to fail, to be honest with you. Because compared, I mean, they thought they could do the Everest Niigata model, you know, but then again, Everest Niigata was situated at a place where the Japanese
community was strong.
So having Super Race, and I think Super Race didn't do much community connection with the people around the stadium. So it really felt like a failed project, like, you know, just to filler the community of Sembawang Rangers, the team that side.
I understand where you're coming from, Haizams, where Super Rates are concerned, or the Korean Super Rates. I think the first year was a total disaster because you had a out-of-date chairman coach, out-of-date chairman coach Hong Heung-moon. You got several players who are so raw that you wonder why are they even here in the first place. It was in 2008 when Jong Kyung-jun Ting came in. Jong Kyung-jun, he had played one season at Home United in 2006, had also played for DPMM, but he had also played for established K-League 1 clubs during his playing career. So he brought in players who were in the second or third division. He knew what he was doing with the squad. They almost won the league. But the fact that they ran into financial troubles in the second half of that season, they in a way handed the league title to SCFFC in 2008. That year. They were that good. They were that good. And that's where a number of them eventually went on to play for other clubs as well. 2009 was a weakened squad, partially due to salary constraints. But I wouldn't want to disagree with what Haizam was saying. Yes, I think to what he sees that there's not much outreach, which I do agree, even though I think when they were doing okay, Lee Biwa, the MP for the area, Lee Biwa was helping them a bit. But I think the localized version that they wanted, that Albrecht finally had for next year, was what they wanted in 2010. The localized team of, say, four foreigners, Jeong Kyung-joo as a head, then the Koreans, four, then you got locals coming in. But unfortunately, FAS refused and gave the thing to Etua and Beijing Guoan Talent, which I will talk about these two later.
Otherwise, Hussein, yourself, which was your favorite?
Not really favorite, but I think a very interesting club was Sporting Africa when they came in. Sporting Africa is all, you know, hardcore. They bring the voodoo. They got shaman. I think Haizam knows, lah. You know, but the good thing is that they introduced this kind of hardcore support, and they are also very tough footballers, lah. They are tough footballers, you know. They're very tough. The other club, of course, it's interesting, like Etoile FC. But Etoile actually brought the SPG girls all, you know, to create more fans in the stadium. And you can see more ladies coming to watch Etoile. Etoile, because a lot of French, you know, Suave players, so the SPG girls will start coming, you know. Local league, they never come. But suddenly you see all the SPGs are there also, huh? So, but at that time also, when they play with us, also, we always disturb the SPG girls, you know. We tell them, you know, you don't know what you're doing, whatever, you know, you only come to watch the players, this and that. But at the end of the day, I think Sporting Africa was a team, but unfortunately, they also ran through a lot of financial difficulties, you know. That's the thing, you know, with all these clubs, The thing is that when they go down, it's all because of the financial things. Sometimes irregularities, the mismanagement, these are the things that happen.
The case of Sporting actually is a bit of naivety from the local management. They were a bit naive.
That's why. Right. That's a sad thing, you know, because the standard is there, if we are really going to focus into to make our local league. Well, our local league was one of the top 10 in Asia, you know, at the time, you know. And then when we actually play the AFC, you could actually see the big crowd. And even though the teams lose in a small margin, you know, you're playing with a Korean elite club, you're playing with the Japanese elite club, you know. At that point of time, we have the team, you know, we have the team there, we have the capabilities, we have the structure, you know, but we could better fine-tune the thing, you know, but we did not, you know. I mean, not we, they did not. We saw the vision, you know, we saw the vision. The day when we won the Suzuki Cup against Thailand, can you imagine, we became champion in 2011, I think. Huh?
12, I think.
The next year, 2012, sorry. The next year, where did we go? We went back to Malaysia Cup. We went back to two step away. Okay. At that time, the fans were all, I mean, we were the hardcore fans, you know, we were very angry. Because people were talking, you know, the outside in the street, people telling, yeah, I want to support my local club really now. Wow, my local. Because they know that the passion is that Singaporean, they may be supporting European clubs, you know. True. But if you give them a good run of money in this ethnic competition or whatsoever, I tell you, they will come. They will come. You ask Haizam in 94, Malaysia Cup final. We went all the way. There were more than 40,000 Singaporean, you know, that actually traveled, you know, to Malaysia for the Malaysia Cup, you know. So you can imagine the intensity, you know, and the excitement of seeing the team doing very well. You know, it's like every club that are doing very well now, you will definitely have a lot of fans. But by the same token, you will also have some clubs with fans, but they may not win anything. They may not win any silverware, but they will always be up there, you know, giving a run for the money. That's the thing, we couldn't sustain that, so that's where we are now, today we are here.
All right, Gary, what's the legacy left behind by these foreign teams?
Okay, I think I will go through the individual clubs one by one on it, then followed by the collective, especially from one country, China. Okay, for CG, I already mentioned they had left us with two Singapore national team players, Qiu Li and Shi Jiayi. Sporting Africa, they were quite exciting, except the goalkeepers. The goalkeepers were totally hopeless, though.
I remember that.
they have individual players. They had the speed, they had the tenacity. A few of them actually were snapped up by other local clubs after their disbandment. If I'm not wrong, one of the Sporting Africa players in 2006 had appeared in the Toshiba commercial as well.
Okay.
Udo Fortune, I think, if I'm not wrong. Yeah. Yeah, one of the players had appeared in the commercial, Toshiba. Then Super Rich. Super Rich, the thing is, the impact is more limited. They had decent careers, and like Sporting Africa, a number of players went to local clubs, but nothing more than that. Yeah, which is a bit of a shame, because 2008 was really one of the best foreign teams you ever see. I think if you had 2008 Super League squad at the Etoile of 2010, that would have been quite a contest. Especially their first season, they had a good flair of players. Their coach, Patrick Bali, actually also loved the country. He eventually went on to coach at Tanjung Pagar. And unfortunately, under the chairmanship of Johan Gotefengers, he unfortunately led the club to financial ruin.
Yeah, all financial ruin. Correct.
And because Etoile wanted to stay on for 2012, but they had said that if Johan was appointed the league chairman, they are going out. They refused to continue. And they actually refused. That was how bad the relations among the French people were, where Johan was concerned. Otherwise, the French were provided something that would have brought certain value to the league. Then you have your Chinese club. I already mentioned Xinqi. Liaoning Guangyuan unfortunately got more infamous due to the corruption or Keilong scandal. Then you got the
Sporting Africa also, right? Had some scandal.
Super Eights also. But these are all never publicized, and I mean, they are not charged in court, but let's just imagine where you can do that. You can get along the game through Singapore Pools. That's all I'll say. I mean, I will leave it to your own imagination how they do it.
Okay.
But that's how one day, this one I can say, I think the Super League players got severe training the next morning after a midnight raid, internal raid on their apartment, where they found so many betting slips.
Oh,
the rooms.
Oh, okay. Next, which are the teams now left?
Well, you got your Chinese clubs, your last two. These two, the last two Chinese clubs, Dali Shi De Si Wu and Beijing Guoan Talent, they are actually the feeder teams from the Chinese league clubs, Dalian Pro, as they are now known, and Beijing Guoan. Dalian Shi De
also actually had the same problem as most of the foreign clubs also, most of them, the betting thing too. They were, yeah. But they had two players who eventually went on to play in the Chinese Super League. Liu Peng, who was their brightest prospect, only stayed 6 months in Singapore, but he had a more mediocre career than Zhao Hongliu, who actually, who now has a much more respectable playing career as a journeyman in several Chinese Super League and Division 1 clubs, second tier. Beijing Guoan is where actually it's supposed to be the most promising, but they were using Singapore as a testing ground for that. Oh yes, and before that, there was also Harimau Muda, who played for 4 years as part of the 4-year agreement, but I'll go on a bit on that later. Beijing Guoan Talent, they are infamous for the mass MMA fights in Jalan Besar Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
The world-class MMA, where you got almost all the players and officials fighting. Started by Khairul Nizam. I know Fairoz Hassan broke the Chinese player's nose. Fairoz Hassan. Then actually, three of the players who got 1 year banned, one of them, Su Boyang, actually eventually went to play in the Chinese Super League, facing against the then super expensive imports such as Tevez, Hulk, and company. Yeah. Then a number of players went on to have league careers. Li Tixiang is currently still in the Chinese Super League club, Zhejiang FC, playing in the Champions League this year. Zhang Xite, who played 6 months in Singapore, he escaped the mass fight. He actually became a China international player. So they were actually developing a group of promising young players for future careers in Singapore. But after that fight, everything went kaput. Then now you have Harimau Muda. Actually, Harimau Muda is one of the more reluctant foreign clubs. They are clean. In the first season, Ong Kim Sui, you got Fadli Shahs as captain, Mahali Jasuli, Wan Sek Haikal, and a lot of other players who went on to play for the Malaysian national team. Unfortunately, I think they felt rather bored and decided to go to Slovakia. So it became Harimau Muda B that took over those slots. Because I remember speaking to Datuk Ong Kim Sui, who mentioned that the foreigners in the league back in 2012 were competitive, but not so the locals. I mean, not helped by the Lions 12 lah. As the rest,
all the best local players were playing for Lions 12.
Not really. Hassan Sani refused to play because of studies. Hafiz Noor never got called up. And actually, a number of others got for other reasons didn't also. Very few, but they were in the super minority. Majority went. Ridwan Muhammad was then languishing in the Indonesia. So he never. Noor Alam Shah did not play either. Neither did your foreign-born players like Daniel Bennett. Only Agu Kasmir was the only foreign-born player to play for Lions 12. Daniel Bennett, Farudin Mustafic, Sejia Ichui, all never got called up for the Lions 12.
Okay.
So it's actually an all-local. The Lions 12 was an all-local thing, but it did take away some of the shine because of the promo, the storyline that Lions 12 had. Even though I think if there's a consolation to die-hard local fans in Hussein, Haizam and the rest, actually the old-time Malaysia Cup journey goers do not feel hot about Lions 12 either. It's only one certain group of fans that were very excited about Lions 12. It's not that hot. So nobody really missed Lions 12 when they were gone. Nobody thought about, 10 years ago they won the Super League, but who cares about it now? Not even the players think about it. So because I think I digress a bit, but the Lions 12 players themselves were so upset by FAS management. Because there were too many broken promises that FAS gave to their own players, but also to FAM. That's why the FAM management, including the current, soon-to-be outgoing Agong of Malaysia, Sultan Abdullah, they all unanimously kicked Lions 12 out of Malaysia forever.
So, collectively, what was the legacy then? It looks like a lot of teams
actually
came and went.
Yeah, because Winston Lee was the chief protagonist who wanted, and actually what we do want is a bit of new foreign flair to push our locals up. Like, you got your Albrecht, your Japanese, your technical football, your French with their technique, their gameplay, your Koreans with their dynamism and their aggression. I think the ideal is to have our players adopt some of these things, learn from them, and try to put it into their game. But obviously, it has never turned out this way. sometimes our players may tend to be more, I mean, I don't blame them. Because the thing is, it's not something in their culture. It's not something that you teach out of the blue from nowhere. I think even the Malaysians, when they were playing, the Ong Kim Sing era was a very strong team, but I think they also got bored after a while playing against us. Because it's not the same feel. Yeah, but the only clubs that are left, Albrecht, they are going to localize next year.
Yeah. I know
some local fans don't like DPMM FC, but DPMM is a real outlier to all the foreign clubs. DPMM is the partial diplomatic arrangement. That's where last time, I think Haizan mentioned something about, you know, 15 minutes of playing football or these things. DPMM eventually also had the same thing. But at the halftime is the Crown Prince son, Prince Abdul Muttaqib, go and play with his own buddies. Yeah, it's true. I saw that at the Hasna Bokia Stadium.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So yeah, that's that then, man. I mean, it's been a really absorbing episode, you know, really exciting. A lot of passion shown by Hussein, Haizam, a lot of knowledge as usual from Gary, a lot of insights as well. I hope I've covered all the clubs that are now no longer in the current Singapore Premier League. So any clubs missing, I apologize. We shall do a feature one day soon on our page. And any last words, Haizam, Hussein, hopefully, and also Gary yourself, any last words you got to say for the viewers?
Actually, where Haizam mentioned earlier about the fans from the local clubs, and once he moved to Tampines, where he didn't feel the same way when he went to Tampines Stadium to watch, I think Haizam meant the old Tampines Stadium or the current Tampines Hub?
I think for me, I'm a purist lah, because the Tampines Hub doesn't feel like a stadium. Because
library stadium,
it's like
a library.
no offense to some Tampines Rovers fans, you know, but I think the idea of or Geylang for that matter, because it's a sharing stadium, right? But the idea of football being a community game for the people, especially in Singapore's context, is really something that we, you know, hopefully the authorities look at it lah. You know, because like what Abang Hussein said, the S-League started as a league for Singapore football fans. And the idea that it's a community for family, you know, people staying where they are staying to watch the team they are playing in their constituency. It brings out that passion where it's possible. But the thing is right now is that where do we go from here? Because there's a lot of start stops, or even, you know, two steps in front, then seven steps behind, that kind of scenario. So,
or when a club shifts from Stadium A to Stadium B, like the Tampines Rovers before their move, they also had a very passionate set of fans. I know usually last time they had the open end, where they got one group of fans, like I think those fans at Sabawang Rangers, at Issue Stadium, they also like to score and curse and all that, generating laughter at the stands.
So that is something that if the authorities understood, that is possible to redo. Because like Abang Hussein said, 3,000 fans on average for games, it's a possibility. It happened in 1996. And you can't blame the European football for diluting, you know, football in local football for that matter. Because if you sell the idea proper, if there's an infrastructure, I'm sure that, you know, people will look at it like, hey, you know what? Let's watch, you know. And I think nowadays, the Singapore Premier Football League, we have fans who are watching the game, you know, like making a family affair. But I think the marketing infrastructure could be done better, you know. Bring that history, bring that history, tell a story for fans to get behind.
And bring back some of the merchandise as well to create some hype.
Precisely, that's the thing. And get big size merchandise, please, for the love of God. Don't subject it to just XL. Like people like me, I cannot use XL for sure. I need 3-4 XL.
All right, Hussein, any last words? It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you. No, to me, I just felt like it's currently a very major disappointment because if you look at the top of the FAS hierarchy, you know, nobody is trying to think out of the box, you know. Everybody is inside the comfort zone, you know. And then you look at the club's games and all. The only club that is currently, you look at the club that is currently being in a very exciting mode is Lion City Sailors. You see, they can bring in the fans, you know. So to me, it's like if you can get more like more foresty kind of people in and tell them, hey, adopt a club, you know, like how the Japanese are doing. The Japanese way of doing is we all adopt. If it's in their region, in their prefecture, they will adopt, they will if it's a Matsushita, then Matsushita will sponsor will be the major sponsor. If it's Honda or Toyota or what they combine, then they are all co-sponsors. It is something like that. We need to get the major sponsors in. We need to get these people, okay, you adopt a club. You take this club, you know. Even if, let's say, people like Bill Ng, he got some consortium group of companies, combine the resources and bring Hougang, you know, to another level. You look at Hougang, you look at the Hougang fans, every week in, week out, they are wailing inside the Facebook, you know, and these fellas are basically they also have passion for their club, so it's the same with others, you know. At the end of the day, you need to listen to the fans, the people they know, you know what they want, and market it, make use of the opportunity. But if you talk about 13 million, 16 million on an annual revenue, then forget it lah. Don't talk so much already lah. You know where other club, other association are giving 100 over millions. That's the way to push it, you know. I mean, be firm now. Okay, let's see. If you really want the sports to... Otherwise, you will never see... It will be stagnant. No?
Yeah. I want to chime in to what Abang Hussein said. Everything is linked up. You know, our recent national team performance.
Correct.
You know, if our infrastructure is not there, we can't look at our national team improving anytime soon. Unfortunately, this is the reality. Yeah. Because if you look at it right now, our structure, our footballing structure is a upside down triangle. Because we are so focused on the national level, international level, but we forgot that our grassroots, our base, it's non-existent. So there's no support to it. How are we supposed to find players to make up for that team, you know, to improve the team, you know, when our league itself is already, you know, I wouldn't say dying, you know, dying a slow death. It's just that there's so many changes that it's very hard for fans to kind of relate. The fact that you have to share stadiums, it's already a ridiculous idea, to be frank.
But
I think maybe because they thought that was Inter Milan and AC Milan way of doing things. And then the other one is what? Genoa and what's the other one?
Sampdoria.
I think for a time also Juventus and Torino at the Stadio d'Alepi also.
So that I know that's quite common in Italian football. Yeah. All right, guys. It's a wrap. Thanks a lot for sharing your experiences, your memories. I think that's vital. That is really, really beautiful memories you've shared. Those will remain with you forever and ever and ever, and will never die. So I think maybe someone listening into this show might be able to relate as well to what you have shared, because they experienced the same thing as you. They might have their own experiences. If you have your own experiences, please feel free to share it with us when we have posted this episode, of course. And Gary, thanks a lot once again, man. Hope to have you on the show. And in fact, the same goes for the other two as well, Aizam and Hussein. Hope to have you on the show on a different topic. And it's me, Russ, now signing out.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Aizam. Yeah.